We greet you this morning. For those of you who have your Bibles with you, our call to worship is from Psalm 116, verses 2 through 13, and verses 16 through 17. And our scripture lesson this morning will be from Matthew chapter 9. So let us begin then with our call to worship. What shall we return to you, O God, for all of your bounty to us? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will give you thanksgiving and call on your name in the presence of all the people. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is Praise Ye the Lord, the Almighty, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is your hope and salvation. Come over here, now to his temple draw near. Come be and glad I praise to the Lord of all the things so wondrously made. Sheltering you under his wing and so gently sustaining. Have you not seen all that his people has been set by his gracious order? Praise to the Lord, for let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and death from now praises be him. Let the amen sound for his people again.
Our scripture lesson this morning, Deacon Natalie Alexander will share with us Matthew chapter 9 through verses in Matthew chapter 10. Deacon Alexander.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
The scripture reading is taken from the book of Matthew, beginning at chapter 9, verse 35, through chapter 10, verse 1, and continuing in chapter 10, verse 5 through 8. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into the harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pain, gift without pain." This ends the reading of the scripture. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Deacon Alexander. Patrick Green was known by his neighbors in Henderson County, Texas, as a professed atheist. He was notorious for threatening to sue Henderson County each year over the courthouse manger scene at Christmas time. The reason? Green says his experience with Christians through the years was of narrow-minded individuals who treated him unkindly. "My wife and I have never had a Christian do anything nice for us," Green said, "just the opposite." That changed when the 63-year-old Green learned he had a detached retina. He was forced to give up driving his yellow cab and resigned himself to his inevitable blindness. Eye surgery would cost about $20,000. And he didn't even have the money to pay bills or buy groceries. Jessica Cry, a member of the Sand Springs Baptist Church in Henderson County, learned of Green's troubles on the internet, and she felt compelled to help. Cry's pastor, Reverend Eric Graham, contacted Green to find out more about his troubles and his needs. Green responded that he didn't want the money. There was a chance the surgery would fail. On top of that, he said, there was a chance that the retina could become detached again. Green is, you see, not what you would call a positive thinker. Anyway, Green told Reverend Graham he had a more immediate need. He said that he needed groceries. Pastor Graham said he would see what he could do. Green said he was flabbergasted when the Christian folk made good on their promise and sent him a check for $400. The money went to help pay the rent and provide necessities from the grocery store. The contribution didn't stop there, though. More money was on its way. Jessica Cry says that he was so amazed by the generosity of those church folks in Henderson County, he's thinking about writing a book. Green says that his book will be entitled Christians of Henderson County, no, the real Christians of Henderson County, Texas, like the Real Housewives, you know. The real Christians of Henderson County, Texas. Green said the reason he was going to name the book this was because these people are acting like what the Bible says a Christian does. Jessica Cry says a couple of folk of the congregation had expressed some resentment about helping someone who had been such a vocal atheist and such a vocal anti-church people person. And that's not surprising. There are always a few all sports in every congregation. But you see, Jessica has a different viewpoint. She thinks it's wonderful what God has done. Maybe she's talking about how God showed some of them how to exhibit compassion rather than condemnation. And by their actions, they helped to form a bridge to connect those with differences, namely him and the church. As for Green, he says he's going to show his appreciation by buying a star for the top of next year's nativity scene. In our lesson for today, Jesus is making his way through all the towns and villages of the region, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Can't you imagine how thrilled the people were to see him? Flabbergasted, like Mr. Green was. Then Matthew says something quite significant about Jesus' attitude toward people. He says, when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Can you think of a better description of the mass of people both then and today? Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's a parable of contemporary life, I think. Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. It's a good metaphor, or more properly, it's a striking resemblance. A flock of sheep you see milling around in a pen, frightened and confused. They stumble blindly, bumping helplessly into one another because they don't know which way to turn. It's like so many people today. You do realize, don't you, that many people, including many religious people, look on those same crowds with scorn and compassion. They look on people in need with condemnation. It's so easy to look down on people according to the way they look or what they wear or the way they talk. It's so easy to exhibit condemnation rather than compassion. How have you, as a member of the religious community, dealt with the current unrest, the present unrest, the cries against racism, and the calls for justice? How have you, as a member of the religious community, looked at people who are out protesting? Something interesting happened yesterday. I was driving on Teaneck Road. I pulled up to the stop sign, and I'm in the far right-hand lane. There's a van to me on my left with two men, and they were giving thumbs up signs. And I kept hearing this little voice that was shouting. I thought, oh, they must be having a family moment. They're listening to something. And every time the little boy or whoever's in the back seat that I can't see shout something, then they give him a thumbs up. Well, as I moved past the van, I saw where this little voice was coming from. It wasn't in that van. Rather, it was in a car two lanes over. It was a little boy. His mother was in the front. He was in the back seat. He had the window rolled down. And when he saw me, he hollered at me, just as he had hollered at the two African-American men in the van next to me. He was a little white boy. And what was he hollering? No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. And as he hollered, the men in the van would give him a thumbs up. And when he saw me, he hollered, no justice, no peace. His mother was smiling in the front of the car. And he looked at me. He kept saying, no justice, no peace. And I kind of chuckled and gave him a sign. And it was interesting. I had a black plastic glove on. So he said, okay, here she is, one of the movement. I don't know if I chuckled, and I don't know how well this little boy, he must have been about 6 years old. I don't know how well he really understood what he was saying or how well he understood what the whole nature of what was going on. But he knew what he heard, and he knew he wanted to participate. And it begs the question, how are you processing all that's going on right now? Not only with the coronavirus, but with the protesting, with the various bombardment of news that's occurring. How are you processing that? Is it robbing you of your ability to be compassionate as opposed to condemning? Nancy Ortberg, the wife of a mega church pastor and best-selling author of John Ortberg, tells a wonderful story about an experience her family one day had at the IHOP restaurant. Religious person, how is she coping? They had about an hour in an otherwise hectic day to spend together as a family, and Nancy was hoping for a quiet, calm meal at IHOP. About halfway through their dinner, though, the hostess seated a single mom with three young children at the table next to theirs. Nancy didn't notice at first, but soon it became very clear that at least two of the three children had some kind of slight developmental issue. Their mother had very little control over them. They were loud and they were very distracting. When the meal was over, John, the husband, took two of their children to the church for an evening program. The middle daughter, Mallory, and Nancy stayed behind to pay the bill. Nancy was still frustrated that they had not been able to have that kind of peaceful family meal she had hoped for, thanks to the family at the next table. But of course, she didn't say anything. Fortunately, Mallory did, the daughter. She leaned over to her mom and said, "Mom, I have an idea." Then she looked toward the woman with the three unruly children and said, "Let's pay for their dinner." Out of the mouth of babes, "Let's pay for their dinner." And that's exactly what they did. It made for an exciting experience for Mallory. And Nancy learned a lesson in compassion from her very sensitive and thoughtful daughter. How are we as religious people dealing with what goes on around us? Do we look at everything that happens with a thought about how we can be compassionate? Or do we look at it in condemnation? What Mallory did and what she said to her mother and what Nancy did, that's what compassion looks like. Jesus had compassion on the crowds because they were harassed and helpless, like shepherd without a sheep, without a shepherd. I'm sorry, like sheep without a shepherd. Sort of like that mother with those three unruly children. John, in his gospel, after giving us the gospel in a nutshell that you know so well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. After John has said that earlier in the book, he writes these words, "For the Son came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." What a startling piece of good news that is. The Son came into the world not to condemn the world. That means there is hope for everyone in the world, even us, when we sink into our critical condemnation mode. It would have been easy for Christ to condemn the crowds. That's what many preachers have done through the years. Condemn the crowd for their sins. Let them feel the fire of hell lapping at their feet. Many people, including Patrick Green, the professed atheist in Henderson County, Texas, associate Christians with condemnation, fire, and brimstone. But Jesus took a different approach. He had compassion for the crowd. That was what Jesus was about, and that's what you and I are to be about. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Who's he talking about? Who are the workers sent out into the harvest field? At the time, it was his disciples. Today, it's us. But please notice the motivation is the same in both cases. We are to go into the harvest fields because of our compassion for people. Our compassion for people. That's who we are and what we're about, supposedly. And in doing so, in going out into the harvest fields, we have to recognize that there are a variety of needs, and what is needed from us may vary at times. Reaching out to people today is not like reaching out in the 1960s. time brings about a change, you see. So people, things, needs, the ability to be effective requires that we have to be ready and willing to change when needed. Carl A. Ball, a sales representative, was driving home when he saw a group of young children selling Kool-Aid on a corner in the neighborhood. They had posted the typical hand-scrawled sign over their stand, Kool-Aid, 10 cents. Carl was intrigued. You know, it's an old story because today it would have been a dollar. But anyway, he pulled over to the curb. A young man approached and asked if he would like strawberry or grape Kool-Aid. Carl placed his order and handed the boy a quarter. After much deliberation, the children determined that he had some change coming, and they rifled through the cigar box until they finally came up with the correct amount. The boy returned with the change, then stood by the side of the car. He asked if Carl was finished drinking. Just about, said Carl. Why? The little boy said, that's the only cup we have. And we need to keep it in order to stay in business. Well, you know, it's difficult to operate a Kool-Aid business if you only have one cup. But we in the church sometimes make that mistake. We have one cup, one method, one thought. We figure that everything could fall up under our one approach. This morning, we're focusing our attention on the evangelistic task of the church. For many persons, the word evangelism brings to mind one cup, the televangelist and the tent revival, or the street corner preacher handing out tracts. In some churches, it means a once-a-year special event at a particular time with a particular strategy for incorporating newcomers into the life of the church. By limiting our vision of evangelism to only one of these cups, we may be stifling Christ's work on earth and limiting ourselves when it comes to true evangelism. You see, we're not a business enterprise. Our motive is not to have a more impressive bottom line. Our goal is not to enhance our institutional pride. Our aim is not to be the biggest and the best church in town. We are called to go out into the world because there are people outside and inside the walls of the church who are confused, who are angry, who are hurting, who are dying. There are families that are disintegrating, young minds being destroyed by drugs. There are old folks feeling forgotten. There are people outside of our inner circles who need our help. Yes, we're to bring people to Jesus. But first of all, we are to make Jesus real to them. To make them see the Jesus in us. To show them his love, his compassion. Again, showing them the Jesus in us. You see, one problem in the church today is that some of us have never been in a situation where we really needed help ourselves. Many Christians have lived somewhat charmed lives. We may not consider ourselves wealthy, but in contrast to more than half of the world's people, we really are. It's like the story of a vicar, a priest in England, who went to visit one of the well-off members of his congregation. It was winter and bitterly cold outside. The vicar was wrapped up in a heavy overcoat. As the visit drew to a close, the vicar told the man that he wished to ask him something confidential. This caused the man to accompany the priest to the door. The man didn't bother to put on his jacket. He thought it wouldn't be necessary. After all, what could the vicar want from him that would take that long? But the priest, cozy in his heavy overcoat, began talking about one thing and another until his host was literally shivering with cold. They were outside. The man repeatedly tried to find out what the vicar wanted to ask him so that he could go back inside. But the priest just kept making small talk. "Wouldn't you like to go inside again, vicar?" asked the shivering man. But the vicar serenely continued chatting. At last, the wealthy man said with chattering teeth, "Vicar, if you don't ask me what you want to right now, I'm going to die of cold." "Sir," the vicar said, "there's a family where the father has been laid off. I need enough money from you to supply fuel to get them through this cold winter." Immediately, the rich man peeled a roll of bills from his wallet and handed it to the vicar. The man explained his generosity like this: "Vicar, now I know why you left me standing so long out here in the cold. You knew that never in my comfortable life had I been really cold. Now that I've experienced this misery for myself, my heart has opened up to a need of which I was before unaware. Many of us are unaware of how some of our neighbors live. We are unaware of the issues in their lives. And maybe we are aware. Could it be that we just don't care? I refuse to believe that's true. I believe that we simply are unconscious of the misery in some people's lives. We're unconscious sometimes of the things that are going on around us." Rebecca Manley Pippitt, in her book, Stories from the Heart, tells about an article that appeared in Campus Life magazine sometime back. It was written by a young nurse about a patient of hers. The patient's name was Eileen. Eileen was one of this young nurse's first patients. Eileen was totally helpless. An aneurysm in her brain had left her with no conscious control over her body. As near as the doctors could tell, Eileen was totally unconscious, unable to feel pain, and unaware of anything going on around her. All the nurses could do for this poor woman was to turn her every hour to prevent bed sores, and to feed her twice a day through a stomach tube. When it's this bad, an older student nurse told her, "You have to detach yourself conditionally from the whole situation." But the young student nurse found she couldn't treat this woman with detachment. She decided to talk to Eileen, to sing to her. She even brought her little gifts. On difficult days, she was particularly kind to Eileen. "I was in a cruddy mood this morning, Eileen, because it's supposed to be my day off. But now that I'm here, I'm glad. I wouldn't have wanted to miss seeing you on Thanksgiving Day," she said. "Do you know this is Thanksgiving, Eileen?" The telephone rang. The young nurse turned to answer the telephone. Then she looked back at Eileen laying in her bed, and suddenly she writes, "Eileen was looking at me, crying. Big damp circles stained her pillows, and she was shaking all over. That was the only human emotion that Eileen ever showed any of the hospital staff. But it was enough to change the whole attitude of the staff toward her. Not long afterward, Eileen died." The young nurse closes her story saying, "I keep thinking about her. It occurred to me that I owe her an awful lot. except for Eileen, I might never have known what it's like to give myself to someone who can't give back. Jesus knew what it was to give people who couldn't give back. That's what he did for us. He gave to us. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And there were so many of them, just like today. And like them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What then is to be our prayer? Jesus tells us quite concisely, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You know, like workers in the fruit orchard. When the fruit is ready to be picked, the laborers are needed right then. Is the time now, when we are still in crisis from this health pandemic, and we are seeing the unfolding of concerns and cries to a 400-year-old virus called racism, for is the time now for workers to step up? I want you to join me in praying daily that we become more compassionate Christians. Deep in our hearts, we know that is what Christ wants us to do. He calls us to care enough, to be compassionate enough about people, to become involved in their lives. He wants us to be willing to take time to show love to young people and old people, to substance abusers and the victims of broken families, to the down and out as well as the up and in, to those on the many sides of this 400-year-old virus called racism. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And let those workers be us. Amen. We invite you to join us as we prepare for prayer. We ask that our elders in both United and the Presbyterian Church of Teaneck would share with us their concerns for their church and for individuals. We'll begin with Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan, United Presbyterian Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have nothing, no illnesses or deaths to report today.
All right. We thank you and we continue our prayers for United as you begin to do some brainstorming and looking at things that you need to do. We keep the United Presbyterian Church, our sister church, in our prayers.
Thank you.
Elder Harrison Butts.
Good morning. No concerns today from my group.
Okay. Elder Melvin England. That's Elder. That was Elder Miller. Elder England.
Yes, I have some correspondence. I spoke to Lynette Johnson. She says her family's doing well. She appreciates the calls from the church and expressed well wishes to the church family and to Pastor Tate. I spoke with Sandy King Cooper, who wanted to relay that her mom, Norma King, and her dad, Roy, are doing well, and she'll keep us updated on their progress and what they're doing with some major changes. Madeline Mullins remains indoors with her husband. She sends her well wishes and continued prayers to the congregation and to Pastor Tate. And also spoke to Dr. Isura Santiago. Daniel Santiago will be turning 40 years old on July 2nd. I hear the good news. God is so good. Mm-hmm. Daniel has begun to talk over the last few years, and the family is so happy about that. They're doing well and continually praising God. She asked how Pastor was doing, Edna Anderson, and some of the other members of our congregation. And she says that she misses the Teaneck Church and can't wait to return again with Daniel. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. For those of you who don't remember the name Daniel Santiago. Daniel was injured in a violent attack some 20 years ago. And since that time has suffered brain injury and has been unable to communicate. So to hear that he's now talking after some 20 years, that's a miracle. Elder Chang Soon.
Yes, good morning to my church family.
Good morning.
The only good news I have is that Mrs. Bean, yes, it is confirmed that she is 99 years old.
All right.
She was born in a leap year. I wasn't sure whether it's the exact month of the leap year or the leap year itself. But she is being visited by a doctor sometime during this week just for a regular visit. Other than that, everything is fine.
Thank you for sharing. Elder Fredericks, I think she may be out of town today. Elder Miller? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had unmuted and muted myself by mistake. Good morning,
okay.
Church. I want to thank you for the prayers, and I wanted to say that I have no new concerns from my care group list, but just blessings to continue with our journey out of the COVID pandemic.
Amen. Thank you. Elder Miller?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
We had mentioned a few weeks ago that a relative of Lorraine Peter, Kim, was in hospice. She later passed, so it's been a little over a week since she passed away. So prayers there. And also, Kathy Wahlberg is concerned for her neighbor, Emilio Hernandez, who lost his mom, Antegracio Sanchez, and so we lift up prayer for the Hernandez and Sanchez families, and I think that kind of takes us to today's message, and with so many concerns due to life events, health, and societal crisis that impacts us all, may we be that loving neighbor for others, showing them the Jesus in us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Elder Adapo.
Yes, good morning, church family. I have two prayer requests. Dr. Cynthia Boachi requests prayers for two people. Sharon Kim, who underwent breast cancer surgery, and Kwame Ekufu, who underwent surgery for prostate cancer. She asks for prayers for the Lord's healing hands on both of them.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us then, as the people of God, join together in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for your continued presence in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. As Abraham promised the visitors some water, we give you thanks for our baptism, which sets us apart. As Abraham sought to bring bread to refresh his visitors, we thank you, Lord, whenever we can gather around your table. You caused the sun to come forth from Sarah. You continue to grace our lives, O Lord, through the many blessings that you provide. We thank you for our families with whom we travel through this journey of faith. We thank you for the children you entrust to our care. We thank you for friends who keep vigil with us through the good times and the bad times. We thank you for the strangers we meet and how we might entertain angels unawares. When we think we are most in control of our lives, Lord, you startle us into awareness, reminding us that your will shall be done. When we give up on others, O Lord, when we write them off, when we think that whatever we see with them is permanent, Lord, you can change things around. You can turn things around. You can cause the unexpected to be a reality. When we walk through the valleys of our own darkness and despair, Lord, you provide the light of the gospel to guide us to safe haven. We give you thanks that you have promised you will never forsake us. You have been a constant in our lives. You've been a constant through history. You have constantly been involved in the world that you created. We come this morning, Lord, recognizing that you have given us a covenant through the risen Jesus Christ, which assures our future salvation. We can now live more boldly, obeying your will. And as we go forth into your world, Lord, help us to be at peace, to render no one evil for evil, and in all that we do, to give you the honor and glory your name is due. Set our hearts on fire with love for you and compassion for a hurting world. God, help us to see a world that in its flame needs to experience love. Help us to love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength, that we may love our neighbors as ourselves, that in receiving your precious gifts, we may be empowered to give of ourselves to our brothers and our sisters in need, that we may do your will on earth as it is done in heaven, so that you may be glorified now and forever, the giver of all good gifts. This is our prayer, even as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We want to take time, a little time, to acknowledge the educational achievements of our children and youth, both in the Presbyterian Church of Teaneck and in United Presbyterian Church. To our youth and our children, we are proud of you, whether you are just moving up in grade or whether you are graduating. And we want to celebrate you now. We'll share with you the promotions and graduations included in our congregations. Kylie Robinson, congratulations. She will be entering the first grade. Blair Williams from United Presbyterian Church will be entering the second grade. Miracle Pittman from United Presbyterian Church will be entering the third grade. Chloe Shipp from United Presbyterian will be entering the fourth grade. Madison Odampton, Presbyterian Church of Teaneck, will be entering the fourth grade as well. And her sister, Marley Odampton, will be entering the fifth grade. Naomi Aitondo will be entering the sixth grade. Charlotte Mobley will also be entering the sixth grade. Alexander England will enter the seventh grade. Larissa Aitondo will be entering the eighth grade. And with our congratulations to those who will be entering high school. Michael Mobley will be entering his freshman year in high school, as well as Zachary Taylor, who will be entering the ninth grade. Matthew Miller will be entering the 10th grade. You have a picture of Matthew, there he is, entering the 10th grade. And Desiree Aitondo will be entering the 10th grade as well. Kalichi Obanaya will be entering her senior year in high school, entering the 12th grade. And we have some additional ones. We'll turn it over now to Elder Lerner Chang Soon.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Every year, we take this opportunity to recognize all our students, and we have a special recognition every year for our high school graduates. We recognize all our students, like Pastor Tate just did, all their hard work and achievements throughout the year. Especially this year, it's been different and difficult. I know everyone has missed their friends, they missed their extracurricular activities, sports, music, but they all came true, and we congratulate all our students. But I also, before we go on, I want to give a shout out to our teachers. Our teachers had to literally overnight go to remote teaching, remote learning, and they have done an amazing job. So thank you, teachers. This year, our high school graduates, it's different. They'll miss prom. They'll miss all the activities that lead up to graduation, all the celebrations. Some may have virtual graduation, and some may have social distance in graduation. It's different. Every year we would have a recognition, and we would have a party, we would have food, and we would have cake. Unfortunately, this year we wouldn't. But we want to say how proud we are. Our 2020 graduate, Mara Adapo, graduates from Paramus Catholic High School. Mara has been an honors roll student, member of the art club, worked to launch the school online news blog, among many of her achievements. Mara has grown up among us. At PCT, she has been an active member of our youth group. She has volunteered. She has been liturgist and usher. Mara, we're proud of the young woman that you have grown up to be. We are proud of all your achievements. So on behalf of Christian Education Committee and your church family, congratulations. As you move on to college, we encourage you to be bold, be courageous, be hopeful. Stay true to your Christian values and be your best self. Stay motivated, work hard, and enjoy the journey. Your church family is always here for you. We love you. Congratulations again.
Amen.
We would also like to give a shout out to our college graduates. Miles Strickland. Congratulations, Miles. Miles is a 2020 graduate from Stonehill College in Eastern Massachusetts. Miles received his Bachelor of Science in Business Administration with a concentration in marketing. Along with his academic achievements, Miles played collegiate NCAA Division II football at Stonehill, where he was a 3-year starter at the position of linebacker. And at the conclusion of his senior year, was named to the All Northeast 10 Conference second team. Congratulations as you continue your career, my team for today, to all of you. Be bold, be courageous, be hopeful for the future of our nation. We ask that God may bless you and watch over you, and we wish you success. Thank you.
Amen. Well done, Elder Chang Soon. Thank you. And we just remind those of you who will be joining us in a celebration, a mobile celebration, that we will meet in the church parking lot at 1:30, promptly at 1:30. So we hope to see those of you who will be joining us as we take to the streets for our celebration of those who have made some achievements in their educational lives.
Excuse me. May I say something? This is Deborah Smith. Yes. From United Presbyterian Church. Good morning, everyone. One of our students on our list that we sent, Kayla McFadden, was missed in today's announcement, and Kayla is going to grade this year.
She's going to which grade?
Seventh grade.
Congratulations, yes. Kayla. So.
Thank you.
All right, then. Let us then, as the people of God, celebrate all those who have been named. And as we prepare to close this time of worship, let's use a familiar hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Just three verses of that verse or that hymn.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
T'was grace
that took my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, through many dangers and sins, I have already come. 'Twas grace that taught me saved us, and grace should lead me on.
May the God of peace, who raised Christ from the dead, strengthen your inner being for every good work, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and dwell within you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Peace be with you all. Unmute yourself so you can share with people who are online this morning. You may do so for a few minutes.
Good morning. This is Betty Easley Bailey. I miss everyone. Love to you all.
Are you still in Florida?
Hi, Betty.
Hi.
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 Hi, Betty.
Oh, I miss everybody. Hi.
Are you still in Florida?
I am still in Florida. Yes, I am. I can't go back. I don't know when it will be safe for me to fly.
Okay. Yes. So we wish you safe staying, and we look forward to when we see you again in this part of the country.
Hello, this is the English. We see Kip there. We want to say hello to Kip in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Hello, brother Kip.
Hi, Kip.
Hello, hey, family. Kip. How's everybody?
Hi, Kip.
Why didn't you put the video on, Mr. Kip? What color pajamas are you wearing?
I wasn't quite video prepared, so I was like,
we know the feeling.
That's right. I miss you all so much. Congratulations to all the graduates, and just stay in faith. I mean, there's so much going on, but just stay encouraged in the Lord. Keep Jesus first, and just remember, we all matter in His sight. So yeah. I just love you all so much, and I hope to see you soon whenever we can get back to Jersey.
Amen. Thank you,
everybody.
Kip, love to your mom too. Love to your mom.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you so much.
For those who were able to go to the vigil that was held in Teaneck, and my understanding was that it was a very moving vigil here in Teaneck on Tuesday at 5 o'clock, and so. Again, we continue to lift each of you up in prayer, and we ask that you continue to lift up, you know, our country.
Yeah. Pastor Tate, we also want to say hi to Lurleen Gillespie. We see she's on.
Hello, Lurleen Gillespie.
Hi.
Hi, Lurleen.
Hi, Lurleen.
Hey.
Hello there.
Hey.
And we miss you all tremendously, and we're good, and we're keeping everyone in prayer.
All right. Thank you so much. And that news about Daniel Santiago is just amazing.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
After such severe injury, to be talking again. So just wow. God is an amazing God.
Yes. Hi, this is Vera Jones, Maryland.
Hello.
Hey, Vera. Oh, hi, Vera.
From the East Coast.
Hi.
How are things
Everybody's
going
fine.
There?
How you doing? Oh, I
you're
miss
doing,
everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. Slow moving around here.
Okay. Or has Maryland, has Baltimore opened back up or?
Yeah, they just went into the second phase Friday.
Okay.
Friday night at 5, yeah. second phase.
Yeah, I think some of us are, you know, we're anxious to get back to normal, but we need to be cautious.
That's right.
And by the way, we are hoping to sometime in July to reopen the church, but we'll have different guidelines for how we do that. And so the session at your meeting on Wednesday, we'll be talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Good hearing your voice. Right.
Okay. I miss everybody. Congratulations to all the grads.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Love you. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Greetings, Colliers.
Hi, everyone.
Greetings, Colliers.
Hi, I hope everyone is doing well.
All right, and our thanks for our technical. We had a little bit of technical improvement thanks to Mr. Jeremy Robinson and Elder Elizabeth Adapo. So we've enhanced our technical skills a little bit. And
great
so
job.
Next week, we'll know, we don't know what we'll be doing, but we might be doing something different. we do have, and Garth Robinson has made a recording of this service, which will be online on our website. So, all right then. So I will be ending this conversation and ending this call, and peace be with you all. We'll see those of you who are going to join us at 1:30.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.